Happy Tuesday, everyone. Welcome to tonight's program. I know I say it often, but we really do have a jam-packed show for you. There's so much to go through, especially a report that you won't see anywhere else. You'll just see it on this show. It's in regards to the FBI actually going after their whistleblowers. We have more evidence that they were doing that and doing credit checks after agents came forward to report the weaponization of the committee. And FBI whistleblower Steve Friend will be joining us in just a few moments. So you definitely want to stay tuned to that. But there's something that we have to talk about, and it is Speaker Mike Johnson. Now, House Republicans are infuriated by Speaker Johnson. It's because, well, he's prioritizing something that most Americans really don't think is a priority these days, and that's Ukraine, giving aid to Ukraine. There's been plenty of reports that Speaker Johnson is preparing, as soon as they come back from their break, folks, to push forward funding that passed in the Senate for Ukraine. The funding is something that they debated back and forth about for quite some time, but it looks like he's looking to pass giving $95 billion to Ukraine in a Ukraine aid package. Again, folks, that's $95 billion, which again, they keep giving the money. We don't have the money. We don't have the money. We keep printing money we don't have, and we keep borrowing from, you know, people that don't like us, like China. So again, most Americans are really upset with all of this. And there's very, very few folks who are willing to stick their neck out and to go after Speaker Mike Johnson publicly in regards to all of this. We've heard from, you know, Congressman Chip Roy. We've also heard from, just recently, Congressman Thomas Massey. Thomas Massey actually posted this tweet on Twitter, and I think it's really interesting. He goes, "What's your mission, sir? We are starting to wonder when you suspended all of our rules," which many of you know, they were very upset in regards to. Those are the rules that he said that he was going to lay out when he was trying to become the speaker. He also calls him out for giving us no time to read bills. Again, the federal spending, increasing foreign aid, and then include earmarks that undermine morality, spend more ominous than Pelosi. Don't secure our border and pass laws with more D's than R's. And Thomas Massey is 100% right here, folks. This is something that Speaker Johnson has been doing since taking the gavel, and he's not alone. He's not the only one who's fired up. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is also upset. She has sent out several tweets on Twitter right now. This one really caught my attention. She calls out Speaker Johnson for completely surrendering the power in the House to stop the horrific crimes that you guys see right now going on against children being raped as they make their way into our country illegally. Now, we talk about it often on this show all the time, that our country is, I mean, it's probably one of the most egregious things that we're going to see, but they are helping in the huge, huge human trafficking issue that we have right now. They are helping by allowing children to be smuggled into our country. And well, they're not even really doing DNA testing anymore, folks. So when they sit there and they're coming as these family units, we don't even know if these children are really associated with that. And Marjorie Taylor Greene has been a shark in calling all of that out. Speaker Johnson has to answer for that. And well, speaking of having to answer, I'm going to have to apologize to you all right now. Speaker Mike Johnson did do an interview yesterday with, not my favorite person, Sean Hannity, of course. And so Sean Hannity did hold his feet to the fire, though, Speaker Johnson's feet to the fire, by grilling him on, well, his issues with Marjorie Taylor Greene. Let's take a listen.
In Marjorie Taylor Greene, threatening a motion to vacate. You apparently have been in conversations with her. What is the standing of that?
Yeah, Marjorie and I are going to talk again this week. She's frustrated, and we all are, to your point. Every conservative is frustrated about our current position. We have the smallest majority in U.S. history. We have a one-vote margin right now. So it's very difficult to move big things up the field for our principles. But here's how we're going to do it, Sean. It's a very simple formula. We will grow the majority in November. We'll win back the Senate, and Donald Trump will be returned to the White House. If we do a couple of simple things, we have to show what we're for. That's what Vivek was saying earlier. He's exactly right. That's what we've been saying. You know, I talk a lot about the seven core principles of American conservatism. It's individual freedom, limited government, the rule of law, peace through strength, fiscal responsibility, free markets, human dignity. These are the things that made America the most exceptional nation in the history of the world. We're for those foundational principles, and the Democrats, the progressives, are not. So we got to talk about what we're for, and also, to your point, we've got to unify. When you have such a small majority, if the Republicans will stand together, we have much better, obviously, negotiation strength when we're dealing with Democrats in the Senate and a Democrat in the White House. And finally, we've got to move our conservative agenda, at least incrementally. And we can do that. We can show the American people We can fight on these things. Look, we're for standing up to China and securing the border and protecting American jobs and unleashing American energy and changing the budgeting and spending habits of Washington. But it takes every single Republican in the House to stand together to do that. And I think now people feel the gravity and the weight of this, the importance of it. And I think we're going to do that in the days ahead. It's a long time to November, but it'll be here before you know it. And it can't get here soon enough.
It can't get here soon enough, and we agree with that. But listen, Speaker Johnson, everything he just said sounded great, but his actions are the complete opposite, and we're all watching this all play out. And so although he claims to still be a conservative, many of us are questioning if he truly is. Joining us right now to discuss all of this is America First Legal's John Zadrozny. John, thank you for joining us. Americans are fired up over this issue. There was a recent poll that came out that's almost roughly 70% of Americans believe that Ukraine needs to come to the table and start peace negotiations with Russia just to resolve this issue. That was according to Harris polls. So what is your takeaway from all of this, seeing that Speaker Johnson is going to be pushing forward funding Ukraine even more than what we've already given them?
Yeah, Brianna, thank you so much for having me on the show. Yeah, just regarding very quickly via Speaker Johnson, he's been doing, I mean, there are some things he has been doing very strongly for the conservative movement. I think, for example, last Friday, you may have seen he sent a letter out to Chuck Schumer in the Senate saying the House Republicans demand an impeachment trial. There wasn't really an or else in that letter, but that doesn't mean there isn't one, for the record. And also, I think he's trying his best. Like you said, he does have a slim majority, although sometimes I do think pushing in a hard direction sometimes might do a better job of keeping the caucus together. I think when you get situations where the speaker may not be as viewed as strongly by some, that people tend to fracture and do their own thing, witness Mike Gallagher and others. Mm-hmm. On Ukraine substantively, though, I think the American people are sick of spending hundreds of billions of dollars that we don't have on a country that's not their own. And that would be the case in a normal time in a vacuum. But when you add on top of that the fact that the Joe Biden crime family administration is probably pushing for this to happen, essentially as hush money for the Ukrainians, because they probably would blackmail him in a heartbeat regarding all of his and his son's business dealings in Ukraine. It's just not enough satisfaction in terms of transparency for people as to why we're giving all this money. I always like to remind people too, I know we're in a different time and a different era, but with our greatest ally on the edge of World War II, the United Kingdom, we didn't write giant blank checks for them. We did Lend-Lease. We lent them equipment. We lent them munitions. We gave them monetary loans with the idea they'd be paid back. We didn't open the piggy bank completely. And here we have a situation where, again, we don't have money. We're printing more money just to give to Ukraine. The American consumer is being decimated by the funding in Ukraine because basically by printing all this money and pretending there's no real foundation for a monetary system, you drive down the value of the dollar, and it cost $1 billion to buy a loaf of bread. So, I think people have a lot of legitimate questions. I think Speaker Johnson, maybe he's got a surprise up his sleeve. Maybe there's some commitment to the border security effort, HR2, or something else important in it. We'll see. But people are fit to be tied regarding the money, and on a personal level, I don't blame them because we just don't have it, and it's not for us anymore.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people are kind of confused as to why he's pushing for this. I saw reports that he's looking to prioritize maybe more drilling here in the United States regarding natural gas, but those really haven't been confirmed as of yet. And you mentioned the lending process. I mean, that's something that President Donald Trump is now bringing up. Instead of just giving away the money, we should be lending it out to Ukraine and making them take out a loan, which I think is interesting in itself. But, you know, Mike Johnson's talking about having a thin majority, and it's members of his party who are stepping down before their terms are up. And they're creating the situation for him. Specifically, you know, last week we did discuss Michael Gallagher, Congressman Michael Gallagher, and how he's stepping down. But he's stepping down strategically after he can't be really replaced. There can't be a replacement put in place before him prior to November. And so you don't really hear Speaker Johnson talking about it. Why do you think that Republicans aren't making it a priority to push forward the expulsion of Michael Gallagher?
That's a good question, Brianna. I don't know. You know, you could also ask the same question as to why they tripped over themselves to expel George Santos, a guy who, number one, hadn't even been convicted of a crime, and number two, said he wasn't running again. Like, he was basically on his way out the door and didn't really care, and they were just compelled to throw this guy out. We also haven't had a serious conversation about why haven't there been motions to expel Ilhan Omar, who's announced her allegiance to a foreign country, to Rashida Tlaib, who's essentially money laundering for Hamas, and to Eric Swalwell, who literally was in bed with a Chinese spy. Those three human beings should be thrown out of Congress forthwith. And if there's anyone else that should be thrown out, add them to the list, right? And yet they're not. As to why the majority, the Delta matters, Brianna, look, he's not wrong. Mathematically, it's getting close. It's hard to lose votes. But here's the thing. Nancy Pelosi never lost a vote. Mm-hmm. The Democrat speakers don't lose votes. The Democrat majority leaders and minority leaders don't lose votes. Why? Because they tell their caucus, you are voting this way. And if you don't do this thing, you will lose this other thing. What I'm just concerned about is you don't really see that. The Democrats are like the Borg in Star Trek. They're a hive mind that would step on their own to achieve a greater goal. Sometimes even losing a chamber to achieve a once in a generation goal like Nancy Pelosi with Obamacare in 2010. Meanwhile, the Republicans are like an open mic night at the comedy club, and you wonder why we can't get anything done. I think Speaker Johnson's correct. I think if he's trying to maintain a little bit of a course to get to November, and I think there'll be some breathing room in November. But sometimes being strong on a policy and pushing something gets you more backing than just being super delicate. And I worry that sometimes by treading so lightly, people are getting the impression he can't really lead, and that's going to hurt him in the long run. I'll tell you, Brianna, too, one last thing on this front. This is not about Speaker Johnson. I've heard really good things about him. I've never met him. He's got a great team. What I worry about is there are people who are determined to make conservatives look bad. And by all accounts, Mr. Johnson's been a hardcore conservative his entire career in Congress. Yet what I'm worried about here is the assault on Speaker Johnson will essentially be a proxy for an assault on a potential future conservative speaker, whether it's him or somebody else. They'll say, look, these conservatives, they just can't get it done. We need to go back to having, a rhino speaker. I don't think that's the case. I wish Speaker Johnson the best. I hope he starts throwing a few more punches. But otherwise, keep an eye out for this, because there's going to be a subtle undertone of any effort to take out Speaker Johnson, which is we can't have conservatives in leadership. And frankly, I think that's the opposite of the appropriate message.
Yeah, and with a thin majority right now, I honestly wouldn't want to see his ousting. I understand, Congresswoman Marjorie Greene's frustrations on all of this, but I'm deeply concerned that Congressman Jeffries might end up getting elected into this position and getting voted into this position, and that would be devastating for Republicans, and we're getting closer and closer to November, so I don't really think we have anything to – well, we do have a lot to risk here. I don't think we should be doing this, though. We'll see how it plays out. Speaking of rhinos, though, you mentioned rhinos, and that's a topic that I'm very passionate about these days. Let's jump into Senator Mitch McConnell, because he has been all over the place. Obviously, he is stepping down from his leadership role after the elections, but he's still staying in the Senate. And well, due to health concerns, he probably shouldn't be there. But he was asked, not specifically about this, but his response in regards to sticking around for a little bit longer was kind of jarring. Let's take a listen.
What's your mindset now when your feet hit the floor in the morning when you wake up? What do you see ahead?
Well, first, let me just say I've been served longer as leader than anybody in American history, 18 years. So look, I finally thought it was time to go in a different direction. But I'm not leaving the Senate, and I'm particularly involved in actually fighting back against the isolationist movement in my own party and some in the other as well. And the symbol of that lately is, are we going to help Ukraine or not? And I think it's extremely important that we do that. I'm not a particular fan of the Biden administration, particularly the decision to run out of Afghanistan, which is like sending Putin a green light. But we are where we are. And the Europeans have stepped up. Most of the money that we are.
So I'm assuming he's referring to MAGA when he's referring to isolation within the party itself. So it's a little interesting, because ultimately we're having a division right now between those who want to prioritize America first and those who don't. And that's what Mitch McConnell represents. What's your takeaway from this?
Brianna, it was an interesting audio clip. And, yeah. It's up to the people of Kentucky if they want Mitch McConnell to come back, or if he might decide in the next couple of years to retire. Look, he said he's been there for 18 years as majority leader. Maybe people shouldn't be in leadership positions that long, but that's up to people who elect these people. And it's up to the Republican caucus to choose who their leadership is. And so we'll see someone different, maybe. I know we'll see someone different after November, although It's kind of interesting that he wants to maintain the post through November. I would say this. I just think that he kind of tipped his hat regarding federal spending. I think what he refers to derogatorily as isolationist, I think I would refer to optimistically from a political perspective, I'm speaking my own personal opinion here, as America First, where we ask ourselves, is the spending of hundreds of billions of dollars that's destroying our domestic economy something that should be done? Is it prioritizing American citizens? Is it strengthening the American Republic? And I think you have too many people from both parties. This is a nonpartisan statement. You've got too many people from all across the political spectrum who think the primary goal of the federal government is to take American people's money and provide it to enemies, foreign and domestic. And quite frankly, Americans are getting a little sick of it because they do pay for it. I mean, I half jokingly the other day, I was thinking, look, since money is not actually based on any real value anymore because we just print it, let's just get rid of the income tax and repeal the 16th Amendment, because you might as well just let people keep their own devalued money and just have the government just print money. Just keep printing it. It doesn't matter. Let Americans keep their money. You don't have to tax anybody. Obviously, I'm joking. I'm being a little facetious, but you get the point there. Like, Americans are sick of what they earn being taken by a government that then flips them the bird afterwards. And so we'll see what happens. We've got a long way to go to November. And, you know, from a non-political perspective, there are a lot of battles between now and then, a lot of stuff going on in the courts. And everyday Americans have a role in what we're about to see unfold over the next few months. So yeah, keep at it, Americans.
Yeah. We'll see how it all plays out. I mean, essentially, everyone does have their say in this. So we'll see what the American people think. I mean, I think they're pretty fed up. So we hope to see that reflected in November. John Zdrosny, it's always a pleasure to speak with you and have you on, because you're so insightful, and you help get us to the point where we need to understand both sides of things. So thank you, John, for joining us.
Thank you so much, Brianna. Great to be with you.
Thank you. I want to let our audience in on a little secret. I'm saving hundreds of dollars each year after switching over both of my lines to Patriot Mobile. Yes, so now my business and personal line are with Patriot Mobile. Now, Patriot Mobile uses the same towers that you're probably already using now, except it's less expensive. So my 5G towers that I love to use my old provider, I'm still using them now. I'm just paying significantly less money to do so. And on top of it all, Patriot Mobile believes in the same things you and I believe in. They have the same morals. So they donate to causes that are like pro-life causes, veteran causes, and even the NRA. It's incredible. So I highly recommend you head over to patriotmobile.com right now, take a look at their plans, and sign up. And today, if you sign up and use promo code Brianna, they're going to waive the activation fee. Yes, you heard it right. They're going to waive the activation fee. Just make sure you use promo code Brianna, B-R-E-A-N-N-A. And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you hit that like button. And if you want to see the news before it becomes the news, you have to subscribe to our channel. And well, if you have a liberal friend that you're looking to save, make sure you share this content with them.